I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones, and from the International Society of Analytical Trilogy, it's Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. I'm very happy you're listening. As we work to create a new media free of the vice grips of control strangling the mainstream media, it's good to remind ourselves to spread the good news. That's what social networking should be, right? Not just sharing what you put on your granola for breakfast. In the 1960s, the black civil rights leaders in the South organized the Freedom Rides to draw attention to the disturbing practices of segregation. Super well conceived and organized the old-fashioned way, not a BlackBerry or Twitter account in sight. Today, with all our sophisticated communication playthings, it seems we lack the will and backbone that got thousands off their butts and onto buses and into protest marches. What excuse do we use today as to why we aren't reacting anymore? We're living in the best of times for social activism, but too few people are interested. I want to challenge you to get more involved. And today, we'll become more conscious of why we're not. Decay in the land of plenty. Today, on Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. Welcome to the program. Thinking with Somebody Else's Head is very proud to be part of the Positive World Radio Network, broadcasters with a strong social conscience. We produce there almost every week, and all of our programs are available on our site as well, along with tons of other very important consciousness for anyone interested in working to make our society better. That website is at healingthroughconsciousness.com. Dr. Norberto Kepi's work is incredibly insightful for anyone who's trying to make sense of the world, especially if you're working with activist groups or alternative lifestyles or any of those concerns linked to a 21st century consciousness. Kepi's psychological, sociological, and spiritual theories and explanations are essential for providing real and workable solutions. Do pass on the word about this program, please. It's our way of spreading, and it does help the world a lot. We do kind of a social therapy here. Dr. Claudia Bernhardt-Pacheco joins me in a few moments, but I wanted to invite my good friend Bob Butler in to talk. Bob has just arrived here again from the Chicago area to spend some time with us in Brazil at Kepi's Institute, and he's got some really important, I think relevant, observations of what's going on in the North American society through Dr. Kepi's lens that can help us to shed some light on what's really going on. You've just come from the United States and have been having quite a feeling there since you... How long have you been away from here? Has it been a year?
It was nine months.
9 months, okay.
So 9 months.
You came here and then you went back to the United States and you had a big shock even at how you started to see what's happening in North America. Talk a bit about that.
I did. You know, I'm a very average American, very proud of my country, very proud of the American flag, great respect. Yet I started to see and I started to feel a strong decaying in the country. We see major cities like Detroit, Michigan, once the fourth largest city in the United States, with half the population leaving. We see areas of the city that would resemble some of the favelas, the slums of São Paulo and other parts of Brazil.
Abandoned homes with broken glass.
Abandoned glass, burnt out by fire, and the dwelling still stays on the property.
Yeah.
The quality of life or the amount of income that the people have. Here in Brazil, you have A, B, C, D, E. Well,
classes of people,
right? It's my understanding that, you know, the D class, they're moving up to the C, some of the E moving to the D. In the United States, the upper, middle, and lower class, we have many middle-class citizens moving down into the lower class. There doesn't seem to be any growth. People's incomes are decreasing. Their costs are increasing. And there doesn't seem to be any hope.
And you have a huge debt in the country now, right?
The national debt is just mind-boggling. And they continue in Washington to argue back and forth, what do we do? Do we increase the debt limit? You know, the bottom line boils down to you can't spend what you don't have.
Yeah, and you read a statistic to me today from the newspaper about the levels of pain that people are living with. And so let's talk a little bit about what's happening medically in the country.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we read, this was an article from Kansas City about pain in the United States, pain management for patients. I think it said something about, like, what, one-third of the population
exactly
was
this.
In chronic pain.
Exactly this.
And
people using medication at what kind of levels do you see?
They continue to use levels at higher and higher doses to the point where they go to their doctor and they say I'm in pain, and the doctor thinks that they're being scammed because they're narcotics. In many cases, the doctor is being scammed. Just recently, since like 2006 through 2010, there's been an 81% increase in pharmacy burglaries. All the targets of the burglaries, for the most part, have been pain narcotic medications, oxycodone. And just before I came here, a tragic story in New York. A man, a psychotic, very sick, walked into the drugstore and without not even asking, "Hey, this is a robbery, I'd like everything." He didn't even ask questions. He just pulled out the gun and he killed four innocent people, stole the narcotics, and fortunately, later he was arrested.
So, Bob, you said at the beginning that, you know, you're a proud American and this is a wonderful thing, and you come from a country that reached the pinnacle of achievement in every area of human endeavor. If we look back to America, 50s, 60s, even into the 70s, this is a country to be greatly admired. What's happened? What's gone wrong, in your opinion?
I really think it had a lot to do with people of my generation. You know, our parents and our ancestors were European, or they were foreign. They came to the United States. They brought their hard work attitudes, their values, their virtues. And they built the country. And they built the country that gave when others needed. And as those generations passed on and the American-born generation grew, the world changed. All of a sudden, America consumed and consumed more and more. Americans had that desire for more and more, and that included money. And it got to be the point where demands by various organizations really forced companies to take their business or their manufacturing plants elsewhere. And much of this was condoned by the United States government, which in reality was condoned by the United States people.
So this might be one of the triggering events, right, was shipping all the production offshore somehow.
I think that began to reduce because then all of a sudden America wasn't working. They were in the service. They were in the thinking business, so to speak. And
the knowledge economy, as we...
Yes. Yeah. So, and again, as we look, we continue to see industry, manufacturing decaying in America. We still see the battle between, you know, the unions. And many, many years ago, the unions were absolutely essential because our ancestors, they came to America and they were literally became enslaved. They became slaves of these manufacturers. Working conditions were deplorable. So the unions was a good thing. But then, like many good things, because of who we are as humanity, it started to be bad. They began to protect workers who had poor work performance. Somebody didn't show up for a week, the union could protect them.
Yeah, this is the pathology of human beings, right, that takes over. But the idea of sort of joining together to improve the conditions, this was a good spirit, wasn't it?
It was, but yet it just seems to be decaying to the point where it scares me, because I love my country. I really think, Dr. Kepi wrote a book called Decay of the American People, and he wrote this. This was a love story, this book. This wasn't...
Which was not your first experience when you read it, was it?
No, my first experience is I was probably a typical American. I said, this isn't true. What he says is wrong. He doesn't know. And then when I read it again with an open mind, it was a love story. I mean, we have a constitution in the United States that probably was one of the most perfect and pure documents ever written based upon experience. And even today, it seems like the politicians in Washington's have forgot and lost the respect for that pure document that built the United States of America.
So you talked about the sort of the breakdown of the unions, the emasculation of the unions that happened. You talked about the shipping of the production offshore. What are the other triggering things that you think are the things that happened that took America away from this vision of the original Constitution?
I think in the United States, I think the American people, there's a lot of illness there. I think there was one statistic, and I can't recall it exactly, but at one time I think it was either 40 or 50% of Americans were on two or more prescription drugs. That's alarming, because that means diabetes is on the increase, blood pressure's on the increase, cholesterol's on the increase, depression is on the increase. So what causes all of this? You know, is it the fact that our values, our virtues, our jobs are leaving the country? All this consumption, the desire to buy a new flat screen, a new computer, a new iPod, a new iPhone, a new this or that.
Consumerism, materialism.
Yeah, everybody wants to be. My mother once had an expression, when I wanted this or wanted that, she says, "You'll never be a Rockefeller, or why do you want to have everything that Rockefeller has, you know? To learn to live within your means. It's not saying you can't buy, but you know, you and that's why all people's homes, they've lost them in mortgages. You know, if you have a home and you're paying $2,000 a month mortgage on a $4,000 job, and you lose that $4,000 job, well, you don't have the $2,000 to pay for the mortgage. So we have to learn to, you know, to live within our means and to be able to accept responsibility and know if we lose our job, can we get another job to pay to make up that expense?
Yeah. Bob, you've been in Brazil a couple of times now and studying Dr. Kepi's work for a couple of years. Is there anything from his work that you think is really essential for American people to learn about, to understand?
Personally, for me, I think we need to be aware. We have to stop this inversion that we do. You know, we look at something, we see, and deep inside, we know that it's bad, but we don't accept. So in other words, we have to ask ourselves, and to become aware, to conscientize, we have to ask ourselves, why is this thing that's good bad? And why is this thing that's bad good?
So attractive. Yeah, we want so much, don't we? So this big inversion we have of values, and you talked about a little bit about sort of materialism. I think this is a fundamental flaw in our North American thinking today. We see everything in terms of money. Money is the god of our society today, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I would just ask my fellow Americans and fellow people from around the world, if our politicians keep spending money and going into debt, which means ultimately that those costs will be passed on to us, the citizens, and we continue to go out and buy things that we can't afford, and then when the jobs keep leaving or the salaries keep decreasing, which in the United States many are, how much longer can we do this? How much longer can people keep putting things on credit cards and paying these banks these astronomical interest rates for time payments? So if we don't put an end to this now and be aware of it now, it's only going to get worse.
Amen, brother. Thinking with Somebody Else's Head, I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones. We are on the Positive World Radio Network. And guess what? We're coming right back. Don't go away. The program is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. You are on the Positive World Radio Network. Our program available also in iTunes and on our website at healingthroughconsciousness.com. I'd like to encourage you to go to that website, by the way. Our good friend up in Edmonton, Will Lajeunesse, has done a great job keeping that up to date, and lots of good information for you there. Dr. Claudia Bernhard-Pacheco is with me again today, of course, as always. And our good friend Bob Butler has joined us from the Chicago area of the United States.
To spend his birthday.
Yeah, his birthday. Your birthday today, big guy.
It is my birthday.
I'm not going to sing for you. I'm embarrass you in any way. the world is not quite ready for that yet. Claudia and I wanted to continue our conversation about corruption. You know, you talked about this maybe a couple of programs ago, and I was playing some of the excerpts in my classes for our students. And you talked particularly about the corruption of China, things like that. And I just wanted, you remember that.
Have I mentioned some personal forms of corruption?
Yeah, you have. But let me just preface the thing by saying what my student was very thrilled with your conversation. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you why. Because the developed economies of the world are going along with this idea of letting the Chinese continue to produce this low quality everything using their massive supply of slave labor and degrading the quality of everything. And you were talking about that. And a student of mine was just thrilled because, Claudia, he works for a Japanese company selling a Japanese crane. And the Chinese have come into the market with a crane that's half price. Terrible quality, even dangerous. So his business has been affected by this directly. And so he was really thrilled to hear this from you, discussing the thing about China, but it got me thinking. I mean, how do we step outside this? I mean, I have a Chinese built laptop computer. We have Chinese clothes. I mean, it's not as simple as that.
We are just mentioning like a branch of this huge tree of corruption.
Of course.
So this is just a branch. It's the final. Like at the end of one of the ways humanity followed corruption or follow this.
How we industrialize corruption, really,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It doesn't talk
but
about
this,
the personal.
This, Richard, started in our inner selves a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
When we decided to corrupt our true essence of our beings. Because the beings themselves are beautiful, truthful, ethical, and love would be the principle, the main feeling of the being. So we had a capacity that was left behind and was corrupted also, a big corruption that we did to our brain, to our knowledge, to our wisdom. So we started to get ill, we started to die. I'm not speaking about religion now, I'm speaking about physics even. About the new physics that Dr. Kepi developed in his scientific work. And studying the DNA of human beings, we see that we really are not aware of the big corruption we do, not developing, not using all our capacities. Just around 5% or 4% of our DNA is made of proteins. The rest are energetic codes that are with us since the beginning of creation, and some are like acquired during the centuries. And Jung could speak about this as the archetypes. Kepi speaks about the transconscience and the transtypes. So we have plenty of unconscious capacities that are not being used because of our corruption, because of our choices.
And you're speaking now in a metaphysical sense, Claudia, and it's important to...
Yeah, I'm speaking about a metaphysical, a disinverted metaphysical sense, and a physical sense. I'm speaking about energy, I'm speaking about DNA, I'm speaking about the already known forms of telepathy, clairvoyance, knowledge, intuition, infuse wisdom and knowledge, perception, consciousness, good feelings. I'm speaking about many things that are very tangible.
And you're speaking about a complete being, and I think this metaphysically, you're not speaking
integral
about an
being.
Yeah, not an evolution of something.
No, integral being.
Yeah.
That
from the beginning.
Yes, we were like fallen from this state of more perfect beings than we are now. So because of our choices, because of our inversion, our inverted values, we decayed. So the most important genes are now recessive.
Yes, recessive.
Recessive.
Genes. Yeah.
And the dominant ones became those that are more sensorial or materialistic. That we have elected as the biggest values of our society. And we could name them money, power, prestige, sensorial pleasures, consuming things, owning things, material life. So the matter is a consequence, and it's to serve us. Just a small part of our lives are linked to matter. The biggest part of our essence is linked to magnetic energetic level. Like, we are more magnetic beings than material. And we don't realize this, Richard. So we decayed, we degraded, we corrupted. Corrupt or corrupted?
We corrupted okay. ourselves, yes.
We corrupted ourselves. We corrupted our way of, our style of life. And then we corrupted our beings as well and our brains. So this is a pity because...
How have we done this, Claudia?
For instance, I'll give you a very practical example.
Good.
Choosing capitalism or communism, whatever, because both of them put the money in the capital above anything, the capital in hands of the state or the capital in the hands of a few. But putting money above humanity, putting money above anything. So you were speaking about China. Profits above anything. This is what leads humanity to a degraded state.
Yeah, this is obvious, isn't it? Because there's so many more important things, and many people will talk about that. If they, at the end of their lives, are not going to think about how much money they have, you know, they're going to think about these other important values of the spirit.
Not only in the end of their lives, Richard, since they are young, because it's a quality of life. It's a matter of being. I don't know if people understand that we are not meant to be spiritual just after this life.
Yeah.
We are meant to be spiritual when we are born. It's not a matter of religion. When we say spiritual, we are speaking about transcendental state. We are speaking about magnetic energy. We are speaking about plasma. We are speaking about all these concepts that link the physical or the study of energy, physics, and theology. We're not speaking about religion in terms of institutional religions. We are speaking about a true being. And when we speak like this, people misunderstand us, thinking that we are a new religion or we are bringing a new spiritual concept. Not at all. We are speaking more linked to what the ancient Greek civilizations and the past civilizations of the planet understood about metaphysics, because they studied the atom, for instance, linked to theology. So God was the first big motor in their concept, like in Aristotle concept. God was the source of all energy, of all movement, of all vibration. It's a cosmic understanding of God.
So this is a huge corruption, then, taking this out of science.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely
huge
correct.
Huge corruption, Claudia.
Yeah. So the biggest mistake we have done is to cut the links we have with God, which is the source of all energy, who emanates all energy. And this understanding of God is universal. All religions can accept this understanding because it's obvious. It's inside each human being. So going back to this capitalistic idea or communistic idea or putting the money above anything, when we leave aside doing or performing or a good work, we need to do what is necessary for humanity, for the well-being of humanity. We must do what is good, what people need, what is ethical, what is elegant, what is harmonious, what is beautiful. We need to increase the beauty of our lives, because beauty is part of our health and our essence. We cannot absolutely be healthy living under corrupt, statical corruption, or inside an environment which is ugly or dirty, in disorder. Yeah. We cannot be healthy.
Violent, under, aggressive.
No. The first sign of the mental and physical sickness of a person is when they start degrading their personal care. They don't like to bathe themselves anymore, to comb their hairs. They start eating too much or eating too less, too little, or, you know, they don't care about their homes or their cars. Their cars are dirty. They don't take care. It's plenty of garbage inside. So this is a sign of mental illness.
Yeah, and we see a world like that today.
Yeah.
You said to me yesterday, we went to a concert yesterday and watched a great Russian pianist, I don't remember his name now, playing some Tchaikovsky. And you said to me during the intermission, you said, this kind, seeing somebody who's so excellent, this gives you inspiration to want to do what you do better.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way, you know, Claudia. And most people, I don't think, would see that. They would say, wow, this guy's great, he's incredible, I wish I could be like that. They wouldn't necessarily make this abstraction that you have made, which is to say, that inspires me to want to do better in my life.
But if you live in an environment which is disciplined to do what is beautiful and good, you end up by being influenced energetically, in resonance, because the DNA of a human being suffers the effect of the resonance with other human beings to improve or to decay. So if you are in a decayed environment, corrupt, then you will have the tendency to adapt yourself. Your DNA will adapt itself through the RNA to that.
It will degrade.
Deteriorated.
It will degrade.
It will degrade.
It to conform with this vibrational environment.
So if you live in a, let's say, the romantic age, the end of the
19th century
in Central Europe. A lot of theaters, a lot of concerts, symphonies and symphonic orchestras, and the fashion was very beautiful. Women well dressed, beautiful hats, elegant men. Elegance was the top of all the meetings and the parties. Elegance was the law and romance. So everybody who lived in that environment had the tendency to become elegant and kind and gentle and romantic.
Charming.
And charming. So magnetism was on the top of society, because to be magnetic is like this. It's, beauty is magnetic. If you want to sell something, you put something beautiful as a call, a picture,
catch
visual,
attention. Yeah.
To catch attention, because it is magnetic. Beautiful forms of a human, like a human body, it is incredibly magnetic.
Not just sexual, right?
It's not, like the forms.
Yeah,
they are magnetic.
I see what you're saying.
Beauty is magnetic, so love is magnetic. Capacity, genius is magnetic. Music is magnetic. Mostly the true music, which is harmonious, which is has melody, it's very magnetic. Arts. It's incredible. It's a channel between the source of magnetism, which is God, and the cosmic transcendental world, and this material world.
So and
arts is like a channel.
And I hope our program is part of that, because
I hope so.
Yeah, we talked about you talked about resonance for good. Yeah. What our program
and resonance, Richard. We are lucky. Resonance occurs also unconsciously.
Yeah. Okay, we need to take a quick break and come back to our resonance for good.
Okay.
The program is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head on the Positive World Radio Network. We're back in just a moment. I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones. This is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head with Dr. Claudia Bernhard-Prosciacco, our good friend Bob Butler. Well, he's listening, absorbing at the moment, resonating at the moment.
Yes.
But I'm sure he'll have some comments as we as we go along. You said the importance of a climate of resonance for good, Claudia, as opposed to the climate of resonance of destruction, corruption, decrepit experience that we've experienced today. And
people think this is old-fashioned.
Yeah.
People think this is démodé, as the French say.
Out of fashion.
Yeah, it's so if we like going back to this market thing and the speculation and the money thing, you see so many activities, so many beautiful habits being left aside because they cost too much.
Yeah.
They don't bring profits.
Yeah.
They are not profitable. So if you're going to build a place, an opera place, they don't even think about that anymore.
No.
But if you build your house, your home, your car, your street, the streets, the gardens, anything, you think about being economic. What costs less?
Claudia, this is so true. A friend of mine was saying this one time. I was thinking, but why do we have so much junk food in North America? Garbage food. And he said, well, we have to transport the food, you know. We need to do a more economy of scale. Yeah. And, you know, so this is
transgenic,
a stupid idea.
Transgenic thing. This is deforming
terrible.
Our DNA. This is creating many illnesses. This is killing the bees in the world. And it, without bees, the nature will suffer tremendously. Maybe all the vegetation in the planet will disappear because the bees are gone. So, and the bees are gone because of the toxics, agrotoxics, and because of the transgenic seeds and plants and production.
Yeah. Cell phone towers.
Agriculture.
All of this corruption.
Cell phones. And all these communications, they must be less and less expensive. So, you know, but this doesn't mean that those powerful people that are on the top of the world controlling the planet, that they are not making money and being richer and richer. So they want the people to be economic, but not them. But I wouldn't say that, because those people who are really linked to money, so much attached to money, they can't even enjoy money they have. They just have these round things in the end of the numbers of their bank account, which serves to nothing.
Yeah.
What a person will do with millions and millions and billions of dollars, what they are going to do when so many people are starving and dying and having no water because it costs. Sanitation costs, and healthcare costs, and good education is too expensive. And why should we pay more for teachers to encourage people to go to education to learn how to be better teachers? No, they're going to speculation to study computers and to study economy and to study financial markets. And MBAs here and there just to steal and to make more profit. So the human race as a whole is being corrupted by all of those things.
Yeah.
And if we support this, Richard, if we say nothing, if we do nothing, we are being as corrupt as the corruptors on the top.
Yeah, this is what I really, really wanted to come to today, Claudia, because many students will say, or people that I talk with will say, oh, but what can I do? I'm one person. And, you know, and I think this is a huge feeling of impotence people have. So this is a form of corruption, because we are contributing to not doing anything about
what
this.
How do they call this lifespan?
Life expectancy
of an object. They don't want to produce quality things because they will not break. They will last forever, maybe. And how will be the markets? How many watches they're going to build in, and how many cars and shoes and this and that? Because they need to make more profit. So things must end quickly, and they want to corrupt quality.
In the 50s, they had meetings about this, Claudia. What is the period of obsolescence they can have for a product that will be acceptable by the people? They had meetings about this to discuss, well, for a refrigerator, it needs to be at least 10 years.
Uh-huh.
It can't be 7 years or people won't accept it, so it's got to be at least 10 years. Uh-huh. So, you know, at 10 years and one day, your refrigerator stops working.
So all this marketing is a lie. And lie is a big form of corruption, lying to the public. People say, well, we have to lie, otherwise we will go bankrupt. So money is the order.
Yeah.
Money is on the top. So what a big corruption. We exchange our true nature, our true being, for money or for being slave of money and increasing our debts. In, like I was reading today in Brazil, the debt was so much increased last year. The people's debt.
The internal debt inside the country.
The people's.
Yeah.
Like, so they said that 65% of this debt is just...
bank debt, right?
Interest.
Yeah. 65%.
65%.
Imagine
of the debt. Interest.
So, Claudia, as you're speaking, I'm seeing that corruption is really linked to poverty. We're becoming poor because we don't have opportunities, even for careers. We have to work for the banks, the financial institutions, the big corporations. We can't even develop ourselves. We can't go to arts presentations anymore because there's no money in it, so, you know, we don't support. We've become a poor human race on this planet, haven't we?
Yes, we did. And when you see or when you watch the films of the first half of the 20th century, you would see how they envisioned the beginning of the 21st century. And what we are seeing now and living have nothing to do with what they foresaw in the past. And small flying saucers all around and so many practical things for everybody and sanitation and food for all and all those accomplishments. Nothing. Because of what? Economic system, putting money above, and this has a psychological cause.
Yeah.
Psychosocial cause. It's not only the blame of the powerful ones.
Right. So let's talk about these personal forms of corruption we have then. We've talked systemically. What is it personally that we do?
Besides
all the things we said.
Being like consumerists.
Yeah.
And besides exchanging the... because, Richard, the fact that we are attached to consumerism is already a big form of corruption. If we exchange listening to a good music, reading a good book, and being curious, watching in the internet, the bad news, because this is a form of corruption. Let's speak a little bit about that so we can go deeper a little bit in each
area.
In front of me, I have at least 40 forms of corruption that I collected in a class that
I was
gave.
In that class.
Yeah.
I remember very well.
So we have at least 40 forms of corruption that were mentioned by the students. But one of the forms of corrupting is having this addiction to internet and to computer games, to seeing what is new and what the news, but very superficial. Very superficial. You don't go in depth in anything in the internet.
No, we sure don't.
So this don't. Being... This being superficial, this dispersion of consciousness keeps us away from the true wisdom. This is just curiosity. And the curiosity is to know about other people's lives and about disgraces and about the end of the world or about what is bad, what is negative. And this, bringing our thoughts and resonating with disgraces, brings us down. And this creates an environment to feed disgrace in our lives and other people's lives. So the realistic movement of arts, the modern arts, they say we have to express reality. We have to express poverty, injustice. And we have to express how the world really is. So if you go to the modern art, Museum of Modern Art in New York City, you get like, what is this? Do they call this arts? So you see there a blank...
Canvas. With a blue dot in it.
And a piece of a tire And so this is the reality of humanity. So this is showing the pathological reality of humanity. This is true. This is the expression of pathology.
Yeah.
We could name this as a pathological museum of arts.
Yes, at the end of all this pathology, this is what we see.
Yes, yeah. This is what we reduce ourselves. We reduced ourselves and humanity to this garbage. And you have garbage there, a lot of garbage and deformation. So that's what we did to humanity. So, but this is not the true reality. And here we come to the metaphysical aspects and the study of the beings, that all the beings by themselves, by origin, are beautiful, truthful, and good because they have a cause and a purpose. Anything that exists that was created has a cause and a purpose.
Yeah.
And a cause and a purpose would never be useless, ugly, harmful.
Right.
They are always beautiful, good, and truthful. And what is negative has the interference of humanity.
Yeah.
Our pathology was already deformed.
Something started out beautiful that we corrupted in some way. Yeah. But this is an essential point, Claudia, that I think I don't hear in the conversation around the world today, this essential starting place that you come from metaphysically through Dr. Kepi's work and the great theologians, that we are complete. We are irreducible beings. We are not something separate. You can't take a bunch of parts and stick them together through a process of billions of years of evolution and arrive at what we have today, that what we have in reality is something already complete, already
Darwinism done. Is a big form of corruption.
A huge form, Claudia.
The philosophy of Darwinism is totally stupid because the bigger cannot come from the lesser or the smaller.
Yeah. So this starting place you're talking about, I think this gives a whole different perspective. I remember after I'd been in Brazil for about maybe a month and a half, I remember sitting with you in your house, and we were having a conversation, and I remember saying, wow, Claudia, it's all about the relationship with God, isn't it? I mean, everything, the human problem, is that that's the, if you could boil it down to one thing, it's that.
Because God is the first being we knew. God is the most intuitive concept. And the most evident, because we need to have a cause. We are not here just by at random. Like, so everything that is has a cause and a purpose. This is metaphysics. This is the true Greek deep metaphysical understanding. Everything has a cause, and the cause it's linked to the purpose, to the end. So we are here for a purpose. We are not like a coincidence or a chance.
Random mutations.
Yeah, like this concept of universe being a bunch of chances, possibilities.
Yeah.
This is a corruption.
Yeah.
This is corrupting our intelligence. This is you have to force your intelligence in order to corrupt it. In order to accept this kind of philosophies and concepts.
Is there any of Kepi's books in English that would help us to understand this better that you could recommend?
Yes, Metaphysics 1.
Metaphysics 1, The Liberation of the Being.
The Liberation of the Being. This is a beautiful book.
Yeah, I love this
and
book.
And I took care of that. I wanted it to be translated to English because English-speaking countries, they're very practical, pragmatic. And in this book, Kepi explains how pure act is our essence. Our essence is pure act. So what is a pure act? Everything that is pure that we do. When we feel beautifully, we have pure feelings, pure thoughts, pure actions, in terms of being perfect. Pure in terms of being perfect. It's not something sexual or... No.
Yeah, moral.
Pure, not moral at all. Pure in terms of not being corrupt, not being, not having dirt inside of it, not being like
distorted,
spoiled.
That book is available on our website at healingthroughconsciousness.com. Wonderful book, Metaphysics.
By the way, Pure Act is the name that Aristotle brought.
We're back in just a few moments on Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. Don't go away. The program is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head, and we are thinking deeply today about the meaning of life.
And I want to tell you, Richard, that
yes.
Bob is here not by chance. Nobody's never in any place by chance. There are always causes and purposes. Now, when we talked about... I interrupted you.
No, please. I'm interrupting you.
I don't want to corrupt your show.
I'm doing the basic nuts and bolts, but what you're saying is the most important thing.
But I was saying that I took care of this translation of the book because English-speaking countries are very practical, and they used to have a much better concept about action. So when Bob came to Brazil, when I started to attending him in analysis, I felt like, oh, how amazing it is to analyze a creature, an American being, like a North American, a United States person, citizen, that lived this scout concept of doing...
Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Doing a good deed.
Good deed of the day.
Yes.
And this was something that they had, and they lost. So
the American culture generally had... Yeah, sure.
So they did so many heroic actions and things because of this concept. They even... Well, they were misled. They gave their lives to protect the legacy of very powerful men like Rockefeller and Morgan, and they went to war because to feed the military industry. So they gave their lives, but they were totally deceived and naive, because they thought they were heroic, and they were in for democracy and the freedom.
Yeah.
For the countries. So they were really heroes, those guys. I found Bob Butler, and he is at my side, and I understand that he keeps inside of himself some of those ideals of these people, which the book was translated
for that spirit. Yeah.
To try to recover those people and those spirits. If they are still... And I see him and I think, oh, there must be other Bob Butlers or similar to him in the United States.
By the way,
or even in England,
sure.
Or Australia
and
or
certainly
whatever.
In Canada we have that too. And that book Bob is reading now. Did you know that?
Are you?
Yeah.
What are you thinking about the book, Bob?
I originally tried to read that book last year, and I felt that it was over my head. I just couldn't get a grasp of the book. I came back to it numerous times, and then when I came back to Brazil this time, I picked the book up, and I had an experience. The words, the meanings, everything was just kind of jumping off the page, and so I have a better understanding as I go through that. Really, for me, you mentioned quality of life. I think the influence in my life was my parents. They came from parents who immigrated to the United States, where they brought their values, their cultures, their pure action, three jobs to provide good education for their family. But now it is decaying. We don't see that. We see people who want more and more. Quality of life doesn't mean quality of life in what they do and how they feel. It means, what can I own? What can I have? What can I do that everybody else is doing that I'm not doing? And pharmaceutical industry, they even capitalize on the quality of life. If you take this pill, you'll feel better, or your blood pressure will go down. But what's happening there is, the longer the people believe this, they find out that all of a sudden their liver may fail, their kidney may fail. So the quality of life just isn't there. And people have to realize, I believe, that what we have right before us is really great if we try just to learn to enjoy it instead of trying to make it better.
So this concept that Bob brought about making nature better,
yeah,
and making everything and anything better in terms of megalomania.
Yeah.
So this megalomania, like, influenced so much the minds of the planet, because they think that nature is mistaken.
It's not complete yet.
Yeah,
we have to complete it.
Humanity and human beings should correct nature and not learn from nature how things really work and how things should be, because the megalomania, the theomania of human beings led humanity to spoil and to corrupt even more the laws of nature. So we see so many complications. This morning, I read in CNN or Yahoo or Google, whatever, that there is a big fire very close to the Alamo lab, Los Alamos lab.
In New
where
Mexico.
Where the first
nuclear bomb
was constructed, and they're claiming that everything is under control.
Yeah.
So many people were evacuated from the area, but the nuclear products,
nuclear waste, right?
Yeah, yeah. Or the nuclear components,
yeah,
they are under protection. But how can you believe that, or how can you trust that, yeah, if the nuclear power itself, it's already a corruption? So people wanted to control nature and to be on the top of nature and not to adapt and learn, humbly learn from nature.
Yeah, this idea that nature is not perfect, Claudia.
Yeah, that it's all plenty of mistakes.
Yeah, and that we're completing and making it better. And
now, Bob also said something that
struck you.
My attention.
Yeah.
He said that when he came for the first time, he tried to read the book,
Metaphysics 1,
The Liberation of the Being, and he could not understand it, but now he's starting to understand. This shows how the DNA can be improved. Because when we learn something, when we read, when we resonate with the knowledge, all knowledge is a process of resonance, is adapting our intellect or resonating and adapting our intellect to the object which is known. All knowledge, all concepts are a process. When you know something, it's a process of resonance between your intellect, our being, our perception, our consciousness, and the object that is being known. So it's a resonance going on, an energetic resonance, which is transcendental. It's outside time and space even.
Yeah.
So we can know God, and if we enter in resonance with God. So we can know angels if we are in resonance with angels, and we can know evil if we are in resonance with evil.
Yeah.
And we can live evil, and we can, and through this resonance, these concepts aggregate, like they come inside our DNA, our genetics. We bring from past generations habits, concepts, fears, emotions, preferences. We bring from the past generations.
In order to recover that, then, we're going to need to do some work to increase the level of resonance.
So like Bob did.
Yeah.
So he's doing analysis, he's reading the books, he's doing an effort to increase his vibration. He doesn't stay anymore just in sensorial level of vibration. So his vibrational level went upwards. Like, went up.
Yeah.
Was
increased.
Increased.
Yeah.
So now he's able, his genetic or energetic structure is able to understand and to get in resonance with the content of the book and the concepts of the book.
Yeah.
So he's saying, so it seems now that he is understanding. So he's taking in, he's resonating with his concepts.
Yeah. One guy wrote to us one time, to Cesar and I, about one of our radio programs a long time ago, and he said, you know, you guys are not making any sense. And I wrote back to him, I said, no, you're not understanding the sense we're making. The problem is not ours. The problem is yours. You're not understanding what we're saying. Not that we're not under. We understand exactly what we're saying.
Now, let me show you here a scale that Kepi did in this book, Liberation Through Knowledge, the level of activities, of the kinds of activities, the level of activities, the different kinds. So starting from the lower level, more
zero, the most corrupt,
to the divinity.
Okay. This is a graphic, Dr. Kepi. It's like a thermometer.
Yes.
Going from 0 to 100.
Yes.
So, like a temperature.
Yes.
And so if we look at zero, at the lowest level of this graphic that he's developed, it's like demonic
evil.
Activity.
Evil.
Yeah.
Evil.
Right, and at 10, we see the psychotics, epileptics, depressives, schizophrenics, this kind of things. At 20, we have the mentally retarded, I guess, the mentally disturbed in some way, at the 20 on the graphic. At 30, we have the marginal people. This would be the people who sometimes have good feelings, good ideas, and then other times terrible ideas. At 40, I guess this would be like a percentage, 40%, grand majority of the people. So only at about 40. You know, he wrote this book when?
I think 91, it's a little... 1991.
91. It's maybe lower now.
Yeah, maybe lower now.
Because we've had a lot of materialism in that time. At 50 would be the saints, people who are resonating at a higher level of resonance with this... spiritual...
with God, damn, with the perfection, with the pure act.
The pure act. At 60 would be the talented people, the people who have talent.
This geniuses.
Great,
or the geniuses.
Genius comes later, yeah. The talents, the great talents, this great piano player we saw yesterday. At 70 would be the doers, the accomplishers, the achievers, people who create things.
Good things.
Yeah, good things, of course.
Not necessarily... Trump and other.
Yeah, more vaccines for the Africans. That's not necessarily accomplishing anything. At 80 would be the geniuses. Mm. This would be the Mozarts, the Leonardo da Vinci's, Kepis. And at 100 would be divinity. Mm-hmm. Resonance with divinity. So this scale of resonance, we can see as we're going through, we can see where we are.
Yeah, and he probably is doing a thermometer of knowledge in this book.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Of knowledge.
He said we could make a graphic about the level of activity and the types of people that are at these levels of activity.
And so, I would place, Richard, the somatized people who are
physically
too much... like the hypochondriacs or people who have too many sicknesses, physical sicknesses, all their lives long, lives long. They could stay in very low there because we substitute. If you are sick, Richard, your mind stops working. Have you noticed?
Yeah, you can't think of anything.
You can't think.
That's true.
You don't reason anymore. Yeah. You just suffer.
True.
It's a form of corruption. Corruption of knowledge, corruption of well-being, corruption of the being. Because when you get sick, you think about your sickness, you suffer, your brain stops thinking nothing other than your pain and what you're going to do, your doctor, your pills, your medicines, your surgery, how you're going to get better. And so you don't, you sometimes can't even think about God when you're severely sick.
Yeah.
So sickness, and also people who are drugged, or could be official drugs or whatever drugs.
Or aggressive. That's all the time for today. I'm really sad that we're leaving now, because this is a fascinating program. Can we continue a bit more next week, maybe?
Sure, okay. It's a pleasure.
Our program is a delight to have you with us, and thank you, Bob, for joining us. Always Great to have you here.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Doctor.
Thinking with Somebody Else's Head is on the Positive World how can I say this correctly? The Positive World Radio Network. The one thing I have to do when I corrupt it. We're back next week. See you then.
Bye-bye.